We let Davidson and Andrew go ahead and do that. Amen?
Yes.
Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're glad to be here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you would, please, we are continuing in our current series titled, Above All, A Walk Through the Book of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles, as a matter of fact, all over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, please hold your Bibles in the air over your head. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that digital Bible right there was not on solitaire. And we're going to have a great morning already with all that worship and that praise. I feel like preaching today. And I feel like preaching the Word of God. Please turn in God's Word to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 1. Today's message is called Mature in Christ. Mature in Christ. Now, I'm not quite sure why the Lord chose me to preach a lesson on maturity. But we're going to see what the Lord does with His Word. Amen?
Amen?
Reading from the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who are by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to, what does it say there, church?
Perfection.
Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be in your house today. Father, I ask that you forgive the teacher his sins, for they are many. And let us teach and hear the soft sound of the sandal feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed some people who just are at different points of maturity in their life? Amen. One of the worst things that you could ever say when I was in high school to someone was, oh, that you are so immature. I seem to hear that more than I ever said that. But you know, let me give you an example. Men and women mature at a different rate. Amen. Both physically and emotionally. But men never change in some of the basic ways we go about life. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, my wife and I discussed it, and after a short conversation, it was decided that we would work in the yard. She made her case quite strongly, and not wishing a full discourse on the matter, I said, yeah, let's do that, but we need a few things. Let's run to Home Depot. For instance, my work gloves, I'm down to my last set of work gloves. I need a new set of work gloves. And so we went to Home Depot. We went to the aisle where the work gloves are. And we walked, we put the shopping cart there and we walked around. We found the gloves. And I guess I was as far away from my shopping cart as that front pew right there. So I turned, I got the gloves and threw them in the basket. And my wife looked at me and went, men, are all of you like that? You see, a woman would take the gloves and walk over and put the gloves in the shopping cart. A man, when he turns around, the first thing that he thinks is, oh, I can make that shot. I got that shot, amen? You know, and sometimes we tend to be like that. But as I prepared my message this week, I'm reminded of something that Dr. Adrian Rogers said in a sermon many years ago. He told his Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, a wonderful congregation, he said, I've come here to preach, and you've come here to listen. Don't get finished before I do. Let it soak in for just a moment. And so when this lesson today on the being mature in Christ, I fully recognize that this may be a difficult message as we go through God's Word today. Friends, today's message is intended to convict your hearts to become mature Christians. Amen?
Amen?
Friends, we are in the army of God, and we should be growing in this army from being raw recruits into battle-hardened, banner-carrying, soul-winning soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said last week, we are not maintaining anything. We are going forth in the glory of the Lord. And in other words, what should we be doing? We should be striking fear into every demon in Broward County. When you walk out of here today, you are not leaving church. You are entering your ministry field. Your job is to go forth and proclaim the Word of God, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be soul winners, winning souls for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. That is what we are called to do. And unfortunately these days, Christian maturity seems to come down to life's personal circumstances. Oh, I see your faces. You're thinking, Pastor's about to meddle here. In other words, does this fit my schedule? I call it living the unless Christian life. Pastor, I'll see you Wednesday, unless. Pastor, I'll see you Sunday evening, unless. Pastor, I'll serve in that ministry, I'll be here, unless. Jesus, I'll share the gospel with the next person I see, unless. Some Christians say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm up against. You don't know the hardships I'm facing in this life. Pastor, things are hard. But Genesis chapter 18, verse 14 says what? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And so, church, I ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
The answer is, of course, no. And today we're going to learn all about what it takes to become strong, mature believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now listen, friends. Sometimes it seems like we serve faithfully, we wait patiently, and God's not listening. Amen? It seems that way sometimes. Living Hope Baptist Church, we were a congregation without a home for 14 years. For 14 years, we leased spots. In fact, in that 14 years, we leased 10 spots. And as we would lease a spot, we never moved on. We never had to move on because of us. We always had to move on because of the licensing or the zoning or whatever. But 10 places in 14 years. It is a miracle that we were able to stay together. But all that we did was in the hard times, we showed up.
Amen.
Sometimes being a mature Christian and growing into Christian maturity is a matter of simply showing up and seeing what God can do. Amen? Emmanuel, you guys have been here since 1939. I don't mean you personally, all of you. But this church has been here since 1939. Amen? And over the years, I know that there's been hills and there's been valleys. There's been great times. There's been times where you wondered, Lord, are you done with us? But you remain faithful. You stayed growing in the maturity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to learn all about what it takes to become strong, mature believers. Now, in verse chapter 6, verse 1, that word perfection literally means the word maturity. We are to grow in maturity. So let me ask you a question today. And this is for each one of you there in your seats where you're sitting or watching on the internet. This is not for you to help out the person next to you. This is a question for you. We don't need any finger pointing around here. Are you an unless Christian? Or are you a Christian growing to maturity in Jesus Christ? See, that's a question only you can answer. In other words, are you a better Christian this year than you were last year? This year, are you willing to go anywhere and do anything for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ if you receive a clear message from God that that's what God wants to do? That's the question for each and every one of us. Because friends, when growth stops, decay sets in.
Amen.
And we are not maintaining anything here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. We are maintaining nothing. I spent 4 weeks getting my feet on the ground, learning where all the doors, the keys to all the doors were. I can't tell you how many times Miss Audrey had to help me out with that. And by the way, what a blessing she is to me in the office every single day. I hope you guys know what a blessing she is. Hallelujah. Give God some praise for Miss Audrey. She told me she's been church secretary for, in October will be 65 years, I believe, Miss Audrey. 65 years. I asked her one day, I said, Miss Audrey, I bet you know where all the bodies are buried. She said, Preacher, I might have helped bury one or two of them. And all God's people said,
Amen.
I have 3 points for us today when it comes to growing to be mature in Christ. You'll see them on the point. The first point on the screen. The first point is this. We see the mandate for maturity. Excuse me. The mandate for maturity. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, when you see that word therefore, what do you ask yourself? What is it there for? Leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We are commanded to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded to grow as Christians. And one of the biggest problems for Christian churches these days, and since we are a fairly typical church, I would imagine this means us as well, is immature Christians. And by that I mean immature in their walk with the Lord. There are days that you will see me act, in my personality, immature. I have that gene in me. Something that just the Lord built in me. I have this childishness that is there. Now, when I preach the Word of God, it's different. But my wife told me one time, Miss Ruth Ann, she goes, "You're like a very, very well trained genius dog. You know, you can teach this dog to point. You can maybe even teach this dog like this show on TV that looks like they're talking and they're singing. Amen." You can do all those things, but here's the thing you got to remember, is sooner or later that dog is going to do something unfortunate. Amen? And so we all have our points where we are immature, but we should be doing our best to grow into maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are some of the signs of immaturity? Now, these aren't from Brister, these are from Bible. Look at verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, when I read that, I thought, you know, well, that sounds a little bit rude. But the writer of Hebrews is saying this, I've got some wonderful things to tell you. They're a little deep. It's a little hard for me to preach it to you and share it with you. Why? Because you've become dull in your hearing. In other words, you become hard of hearing to spiritual Christian things. In other words, the problem isn't that I can't do it, the writer says. The problem isn't that I can't share it. The problem is not in my mouth or in my voice. The problem is in the dullness of your hearing. Now, Emmanuel, if that isn't rude enough right here, this word dull can also mean lazy. Now listen, I must confess that there were days at Living Hope Baptist Church where we felt like just showing up because things had gotten hard. Am I right, Living Hope, former Living Hope members? I always say that, former Living Hope members, because we're Emmanuel Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale now, amen? Emmanuel, the former Emmanuel folks, I would say probably the same thing, amen? That sometimes you just get used to showing up. We get a little lazy in what we're doing. Or in modern terms, that word there actually means having the I don't care attitude. Or the whatever attitude. In other words, meaning I don't care about the Word of God. I don't care about Sunday school. I don't care about my attitude on prayer. I don't care that much about church attendance. I don't care about the worship part of the service. I'm here because I am saved and I'm supposed to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we are supposed to be here. Hallelujah. We are saved. Hallelujah. That's a reason for rejoicing. But that's not the only reason to be in church. The reason we come to church is because the Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Each and every one of you has been placed here specifically at Emmanuel Fort Lauderdale. This church, when you are not here, is incomplete without you. That you are part of this body. Every member here has a function. Even if that function is just to sit here and encourage me as I preach. Even if your function is to encourage the praise team or serve wherever it is you're serving. Even if your function, because of age or other things, is to pray as hard as you possibly can for this church. You have a function in this church. And this pastor will never hold anyone back from their function. You see, you are called to serve in a ministry at Emmanuel Fort Lauderdale. And if God has called you to do those things in your heart, whether it is serving in the clinic or serving in child care or it's serving in the food locker or the clothes locker, whatever that is, whatever your schedule can handle, I'm going to encourage you to serve there. Amen? Because that is part of your spiritual growth. And plus, we need you guys here in service to keep an eye on the preacher. Have you ever noticed I always tell you, take your Bibles out and keep them open in front of you. That's so when I preach, you're looking right at the Word of God says. You can keep an eye on that guy preaching here. And when you go out of town, you do the same thing. And all of God's people said, Amen. So listen, friends. First of all, it says one of the signs of immaturity was that they were dull in their hearing. The second sign of immaturity is being dependent. Being dependent. Look at chapter 5, verse 12, the first half. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, they haven't grown enough to help others. Not only are they just helping themselves, but they need help. Now, he's talking to Christians that have been Christians for a while. He's not talking to the newly saved. By the way, I love the newly saved. I love what I call barbarian Christians. They don't know anything except they're saved, other people aren't, and if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. And they go out there and they're liable to blurt out anything, which I love. Because when they bring people back to church, by the way, who knows the most lost people? It's someone that's a new believer. We need to fire those people up. Get them out there. Let them get folks into church, and then we'll let the Lord straighten out the training. Amen? You see, that I love barbarian Christians. And so, but the writer here in verse 12 is saying that they're just helping themselves, or they need help. So let me ask you, Emmanuel, Fort Lauderdale, is there anybody that you are helping to grow in Christ? Is there anyone that you are helping? Are you discipling someone else? Friends, don't be a dependent Christian. Amen? And no, I'm not talking about those with physical hindrances or other infirmities. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that have been Christians for a long time and they're not replicating themselves. After dullness and dependency, the third sign of immaturity is diet. Verse 12 and the second half. And you have come to need milk and not what? Solid food. Milk and not solid food. You see, friends, what are you feeding on day by day? Are you eating meat or are you still on milk? Well, pastor, preacher, what's the real point there? Well, follow me for just a second. I'm not a dietitian. But I do know what this verse is saying. Milk is produced by a mother that has eaten other food. And it's prepared for the baby. And in other words, the baby actually gets, when they feed, pre-digested food. That's what the baby is getting. That's what they're receiving. And friends, that is what so many Christians are trying to get by on. Pre-digested food. And guys, my Sunday sermon cannot be the only time that you get a word from the Word. My Sunday sermon cannot be the only time of the week that you pick up your Bible. It cannot. It simply cannot. Because all that a sermon is pre-digested food. Now listen to what I'm going to say now. Watch this because I can see your faces. How is a sermon by the preacher just pre-digested food? What happens is I listen to the Lord. I listen to the Lord and what the Lord is telling me to preach on. I sit at my desk, I study, I pray, I think, I weep. I consider. I organize my thoughts. I analyze. I illustrate. I digest God's Word to present it to God's people. And as hard as I work on getting meat to you, listen to me closely, as hard as I work on getting meat to you, it is still essentially just pre-digested food. It's been distilled. It's been looked at by the preacher. You need to eat on yourself. And you need to open the Word of God every single day. You need to open the Word of God multiple times a day. Hallelujah. Well, think about it this way. When you go to eat your meals, do you just eat on Sunday after church? Is that the only meal you get every week? You can see, obviously, that does not happen to me. Chuckling is okay, pointing is not. Listen, friends, no. You need a daily balanced meal, amen? You need a daily balanced diet of God's Word. You need God's Word every day of your life. And signs of immaturity are dullness, dependency, diet. And finally, we see a lack of discernment. Look at verse 14, if you would. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Look at that word, exercised. To discern both good and evil. Verse 14, listen to me, friends. Talks about a lack of discernment. That word exercise is a word that we get gymnasium from. But have you ever noticed something? Babies don't have much discernment. If you put a baby on the floor and they're in the crawling stage, and they're crawling and they come across something that's small enough, where is that going? In the mouth. That's exactly correct. They will stick anything in their mouth. But with age and experience comes discernment. And folks, the only way to get biblical discernment is by spending more than just Sunday morning in the Word of God. You need to let the Lord speak to your heart every single day. Amen? May I suggest this? I think all of us have had that unfortunate time where we forgot our Bibles at church. Have two Bibles. Make sure you have one at home. Amen? Alright, so first we see the mandate for maturity. Second, we see the measure of maturity, our second point today. The measure of maturity. What is the measure of Christian maturity? Look one more time. I'm going to read chapter 6, verse 1, one more time. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. The writer is saying to go on in your perfection in Christ Jesus. It is only the growth in Christ Jesus where Christian maturity comes from. Go deeper into Christ. Get away from the ABCs of Christianity. Every once in a while, us preachers are tempted to say, please turn in your Word of God to Habakkuk, just to see how many folks go to the table of contents. Grow in the Word of God. Read through the Word of God every single day. Did you know if you read your Bible, the average reader, if you read it 15 minutes a day, you can go through your whole Bible in 1 year. The average reader. Let me give you some verses. You can jot these in the margin. They'll be up on the screen right now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, Him we preach. Who is the Him, church? The Lord Jesus Christ. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The pastor's job is to preach the Word of God. Amen? Your job is to read your Bibles and grow more mature in Christ. That word perfect there means mature. I said that before. Christ-likeness is the goal for God's people. Well, how do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. Look on the screen, you'll see Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. People say, well, preacher, what about you? Where do we find the maturity test for the pastor's ministry? Where is that found? Well, it's right before verse 13, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The test of my ministry is not the size of these buildings or how many buildings are on this campus. It's not the size of our budget. Neither is the pastor's sign of maturity, the size of our Sunday schools or church attendance. It's not how many people are in the pews. It's my job to fill the pulpit. It's God's job to fill the pews with His people. Amen? The test of my ministry really is, are you becoming equipped for the work of the ministry? Are you becoming equipped for the work of the ministry and the edification of the body of Christ? Edification means to raise up, to make better. You see, when you come, you are here to edify the body of Christ, to lift us up, to raise us up, to encourage us. Are you a blessing in your church? And you see, I want to be that guy that when I've left, and when the Lord has called me home, and I've told his children this so many times, back when I was a children's pastor, one day you will hear that Pastor Larry is dead. Don't you believe it a minute? I'll be walking the streets of glory, alive and well. Amen. Okay? But listen, guys, I preach my way right off my notes, and I'm so sorry about that. The measure of my ministry is whether or not you are growing. It's whether you are growing in what is being taught. And my ultimate goal is for you to become measurably more and more mature in Jesus Christ. As I said just a moment ago, we are to be a blessing to others. We are to edify the body of Christ. I want to be that guy when I'm gone, that people go, Pastor Larry has gone on to be with the Lord. You know, he was our pastor here. What a blessing. I don't want to be that guy where people go, well, Pastor Larry has moved on. What a blessing. Think about it for a moment. But by the way, friends, growth takes time. It does take time. I recognize that. Christian maturity does not come overnight. Maturity is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. Amen? It's a marathon. Because you can be spiritually healthy, you can be spiritually perfectly healthy, and still not be a mature Christian. Think about that for just a moment, if you would. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It's in the back of your Bibles, about the fifth book before the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 12. If you have a paper Bible, and you're 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, chapter 12, verse 12 through verse 14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. The wicked one. See, friend, John mentions three stages there of the Christian life. He mentions the child, he mentions the young men, and he mentions the fathers. Now, he's speaking in the masculine terms, but this applies to girls, young ladies, young women, and the older ladies. You know, there's no way to say that properly. The more mature ladies. Let me share that one. So John mentions the three stages of life there. There's a little child stage for the Christian. That is the new Christian. That's the new believer. That should be the brand spanking new believer. Then there's the young man stage. That's the workers, the warriors. Those out there battling for the cause of Christ. The workers within the church. Then there's the father stage, or the mature woman stage. That's the people that have grown in Christian maturity, grown in Christian wisdom. They're replicating themselves. It's the older women raising up the young women. It's the men replicating themselves in the young men. Think about that last one again. Why is a man called a father? It's because he is a reproducer. He is a reproducer. And when you come to real Christian maturity, you're going to become a spiritual father. You're going to become a spiritual mother. And you're going to be able to reproduce your life. Reproduce your Christian maturity. You're going to be able to teach others. You're going to be able to have a lot of spiritual children. Young people, young Christians that you've gathered up in your arms. That you've encouraged them. You've raised them up. You've edified them. And I just as a reminder here, John was a church father, and he started off just as full of problems as you or I started off. Anybody here never had any problems in their life? Have we always been a source of joy when we come to church? Of course not. What was it that changed John? What was it that changed Larry? What was it that changed Paulette? Audrey? Noel, John, what was it that changed them? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, encountering Christ and receiving Him as Lord should change your life. But I also know that when you are changed into a believer, that is just the start of your ministry walk. Because after I was saved, it took me, guys, forever to grow out of childhood. Forever. It took me a while to mature in Christ. But still, it did happen in stages. From child to young man, and now, hopefully, a church father. Someone replicating himself. All I care about is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. All I care about is teaching the Word of God. To do it in truth and love. Now, I know some days, some messages are more joyful than others. Some walk all over our feet a little bit. I promise you, this message walked all over my toes as I was preparing it. But whatever your job is, friends, wherever you are in your walk with Christ, your goal is the next step. Are you a child? You should be working to becoming a young man or a young woman of God. A warrior. A worker. Are you one of those young men right now? You should be working on to becoming a church father, a church mother, ready to replicate yourself, discipling someone. Because we have a mandate for maturity. We saw the measure of maturity. And now let's look at our third point today, the means of maturity. And while we're going through our points here today, I just did want to point this out. I know it takes a little while to get in the mode of how I preach. I preach with notes every single Sunday. And so I just want to tell the husbands out there, don't count on your wife to take your notes. I want the husbands and the wives to pick up their bulletins when we come in here. I just thought I'd share that. I don't know why the Lord sent that to me, but we need to all take our own notes. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, guys, do you really want your wife taking the notes for you? Here's what the Lord told me for you. No, of course not. So the means of maturity. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means requirements. The things that are needed, required. There are three things that are the means to maturity. The first requirement for maturity is life. Is life. You cannot grow until you are born. Amen? The problem with a lot of people, well, let me put it this way. You cannot grow as a Christian until you are born again. You must be born again. And the problem with a lot of people is they try to grow up, that is, get better, and then get born, saved. Don't do that. Don't try to get better before you get saved. Get saved. God will make you better.
Amen.
So don't do that. The problem with other people is that they get born, saved, and they never grow up. They never move on in their Christian maturity. They're just happy right there. The proper way is to get born again, saved, then grow up, which is to mature in Christ. But you cannot really begin to mature until you are born again. So it takes life. You must be born again. You must come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be washed in the blood of Jesus. And why is it Jesus? Because Jesus said so. That's why. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And all God's people said. So, okay, so first you have to have life. Second, Christian maturity takes time. It takes time. You are not going to be an instantly mature Christian. That's why It doesn't matter how much on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ you are. If you're a brand spanking new Christian, the odds are we're not going to move you right in to teach in our Sunday school. You got to grow a little bit, amen? You got to have some Christian life experiences. But the thing is that you may not be instantly mature, but you can be instantly spiritual. I'm going to say that one more time. You're not going to be instantly mature, but you can be instantly spiritual. Meaning what? Well, it means this. If you are not already a born-again Christian, it means that today, here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, today you can repent of all of your sins. You can receive Jesus Christ. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you can on this very day become on fire for Jesus. You can be a hot mess for Jesus Christ. That's what I am. It's hard to shut me up or stop me talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done in my life. You see, you can be on fire. You can be Spirit-filled. You can be a believer in Jesus and still not be a mature believer. Because there's a difference. Maturity takes time. It just takes a little bit of time. But you can grow faster than others if you want to grow faster than others. Amen? What do I mean by that? Well, Pastor, how can I grow faster? You know, Pastor, you say that we're running this race. How many of us have ever did any running in our lives? All right. How many of us have ever been 7 years old? How many of us have ever done any running in our life? Now put your hands up, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. It might have been 60 or 70 years ago, but we all did some running. So what's the difference in a 5 mile race between a walker, a jogger, and a runner? They still get to the goal, amen? Just at different times. They all get to the same place at different times. And the same thing happens in church because when some people get saved, they're on fire for Christ, they're in a full-out sprint for the finish line. And they get there a little faster than the others. They just grow incredibly quickly. Others move along a little slower. Some move along hardly, if at all. But you can grow at a faster rate, but it still takes time. Maturity in Christ takes life, and it takes time. It also takes nourishment. Back to verse 12 in chapter 5. And it says, "And you have come to need milk and not solid food." What sort of solid food do we need? The Word of God. The Word of God in the morning. The Word of God in the noon. The Word of God in the afternoon. The Word of God in the evening. The Word of God every day of our life. When we're standing in a checkout line. And instead of being impatient with the people in front of us, review scriptures in your mind about patience, or look them up on your phone. We all have those phones right now. Amen. And so we read our Bibles every single day, several times a day, and nourishment comes from God's Word. And as we read it, we chew on every verse we read. We get all possible nourishment for our soul from the Word of God. Church, the food of maturity is God's Word. And not just taking 5 minutes and rushing through a few verses every day. Taking 5 minutes, reading your Bible in the morning is not enough. You need to get your Bible, take your time, read and ponder and pray over the Word of God. And then apply it to your life for that day. The means of maturity takes life, it takes time, and it takes nourishment. But that's not all. It also takes exercise. You saw in chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about the exercise. We are to exercise ourselves. Exercise is not a dirty word, by the way. My wife exercised me yesterday. I dug a hole and moved a tree that was already planted from one hole to the other. Then I dug the other hole I took that first tree from, deeper, and put a new tree there. It was plenty of exercise, and I was left gasping like a gaff flounder in my front yard. But friends, when it comes to the Word of God, we are to exercise. And when we exercise ourselves in the Word of God, when we exercise ourselves in prayer, when we exercise ourselves by witnessing, when we exercise ourselves by serving, we grow. And now for the question for you today, the question that I have in closing is the same question I had in the opening. Emmanuel Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale, are you individually a growing Christian? Are you growing to maturity in Christ? Are you going on to perfection in Christ? Because friends, let me just share something with you from deep in my heart. When I stand here each Sunday morning, and I look out at this sanctuary of God's people, this is God's people in this house, I get a lump in my throat. I get a catch in my chest. My heart jumps when I think this one thought. I pray, dear Lord, what would happen if every single person here became a mature believer on the Lord Jesus Christ? What would happen if every person here went out these doors realizing there is a lost and dying world right outside these doors? That people need Jesus. Lord, what if we were worried more about growing to maturity faster and becoming soul winners? So my charge to each and every one of us today is to stop being dependent on others. Amen? Stop being deprived in your diet and start feeding on some spiritual steak. Get ready for the cause of Christ. So see, friends, if you're a new believer in Jesus, that's wonderful. Your sins are forgiven. That's a cause for celebration. Start growing to the next level. Keep going on. If you're a worker and a warrior in Christ, that's amazing. That's awesome. Keep working. Start discipling others. Replicate yourselves. Now, I'm going to finish a little different today. We're going to have two prayers today. I want you to bow your heads all over the sanctuary. All over the sanctuary, nobody moving. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you just be honest with yourself? Would you just be honest with the Lord right now? Because Christians, you are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, right here, with every head bowed, every eye closed, ask God to truly reveal to your heart whether or not you are a growing Christian. Lord, am I growing in my maturity? Now, if the answer to that is no, would you pray this simple prayer to yourself right where you're sitting? Lord, help me to take time to feed myself spiritually. Lord, help me to exercise in the things of God. Lord, I don't want to go to heaven as an immature believer. I want to be like Jesus. Father God, as a preacher, what I've said this morning to my flock, Lord, you know that I have said to myself. And Lord Jesus, I don't want to stop growing because there is so much to do. Lord, we are so grateful for the cross. So please help us all here today, Lord. Teach us to have our quiet time with you. Teach us, Lord, about spiritual discipline. Teach us about prayer and witnessing and service so that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Now, I've spoken mainly to the Christians today. But for those of you that have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, I want you to know this. There is a God in heaven that loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. There is a Lord in heaven. There is a God in heaven that loves you. And you may be sitting here today thinking, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what kind of life I've lived. But 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever unrighteous things that you have in your life, give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take them to the foot of the cross. Preacher, I'm too far gone. I've done too many bad things. I'm hopeless. Genesis 18:14, I said it at the start of this message. Is anything too hard for God? Preacher, will God really save someone like me? Listen to the words of Christ Himself from the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into Him and dine with Him, and He with me. There is a God in heaven that loves you. And if you came here apart from Jesus Christ today, you don't have to leave that way. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to bow your heads one more time all over the sanctuary as our praise team comes. Every head bowed. This is not the time to leave. This is the time to sit quietly. The most important decision people will ever make in their life is being made right this second, whether or not to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And so whether you're sitting here in this sanctuary, or you're watching on the internet, or you're listening to an audio of this, if something was said today that in your heart, in a moment you knew that you were changed, that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're already saved. There's nothing else that has to happen. But why don't we formalize that by praying a simple prayer where you're at? And then if you're in this sanctuary, after we pray and we stand up to sing our invitation song, I want you to come and share the news with me and ask me to pray with you. If you've received Jesus Christ as Lord for the first time in your life this morning, pray quietly these words in your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came from heaven to earth in human form. That You lived a perfect, sinless life. That You went to the cross to die for my sins and the sins of the world. That You died on that cross. That they placed You in a grave and You stayed there for 3 days. But on the third day, You rose again to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because You have defeated death and the grave, today I receive You as Lord. I confess that I'm a sinner. Please save me, Lord Jesus. And I will live for You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. If you just received Christ as Lord, whether you're here or watching on the internet, I want you to know that 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels just shouted your name in the throne room of heaven, giving glory because a sinner has been saved. And when we stand in just a second, I want you to step out of these aisles and walk down. I'd love to pray with you today. Or, if you've never formally made Emmanuel Baptist Church and you're already saved, if you never made Emmanuel Baptist Church your church and you want to do that, I invite you to walk down these aisles this morning. Or if you simply want me to pray with you for a moment, I ask that you walk down these aisles. I would love to pray with you. We're going to sing, I Believe, Oh Come to the Altar. You may just want to come and make this altar an honored place as you bring yourself before the Lord. And you say, Lord, I don't want to be an immature Christian. Lord, I want to grow in Christ to perfection. Lord God, I want to serve You. So won't you please stand all over the sanctuary? If you're able, please stand all over the sanctuary. As we sing our invitation song, never say no when God says go. In Jesus' name. Amen. As our praise team sings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it, church. Sing it. Bow your heads one more time, please. Father God, we are so grateful. We are so honored to be here today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house. Father, I thank you from the depths of my heart for the privilege of sharing your word with your children, these children of the living God. And so, Father, I ask a blessing on each and every one of them, whatever hardships that they're going through, Father, that you meet them where they are, that you place your hand of comfort upon them. Father, whatever stage they are in their life, if they are children in Christ, Father, that you would help them become warriors and workers for Christ. If they are already warriors and workers, Father, let them go on to the full maturity of the mature Christian believer. Father, I thank you for being here today. We thank you for the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the name above all names that we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand if you don't mind in his house. Go ahead and please take a seat where you are. As our men come for today's offering. Come on, guys. They're excited about this. Hey, church, guess what? It's time to give back. It's time for our offering. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Jim is asking a blessing today.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, just giving you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you so much that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us on that cross, Lord. We pray that you can take these tithes and these offerings, Lord. You can multiply them, use them to further your kingdom, touch lives, people who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen. Come on up here. We have a couple of announcements today. I just want to share these with you as the men are going through and taking up the offering. Once again, coming soon, we have a quarterly newsletter called Reach Out. If you're interested in helping, please see myself after service. Our next announcement is, be here this evening. We are now in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians, and it's all about worshiping God. Amen? And we're going to continue that. Be here at 6:30. Prayer matters. Be here on Wednesday nights. Our Wednesday night group is growing. We're definitely growing here on Wednesday night. It's a wonderful thing. So be here at 7 p.m. I just want to say this one more time. This evening, be here at 6:30. On Wednesday, be here at 7. I preach a devotional, about 25, 30 minutes, and we have a time of prayer. Next slide, please. Back up one. I think we went... Okay, good. All right. Please make every effort also to attend the church business meeting this Wednesday. This Wednesday evening. Specific item to be discussed is forming... Among other things that you may bring up, is forming a team to review the existing Emmanuel bylaws and constitution. I think it was written real long ago, or real, real long ago, and it was last looked at from a legality point of view real long ago. So we're going to work with God's people and see what, if anything, needs to be changed. But we're going to form a team for that. One more thing, if we got one more announcement, we really need Sunday school teachers. We need them badly. All ages. We need help in the infant care center and toddlers. We really need some teachers. Please sign up out front. What else do we have here? All right. One more announcement from myself. On September 16th, here in this sanctuary, we will have a joint service. Anglo and Hispanic ministries will be in the same room. If you haven't experienced that, it is an exciting thing. It is a big deal, guys. And we just have a glorious time. I believe you have an announcement.
Well, first off, Jamie, you have something. Today, we're going to be selling pizza and sodas and bottled water outside here on this one exit. This is for raising funds for Rock the Universe, which is for Ford's ministry,
right,
for the student ministry. We're going to be going to Universal Studios for Rock the Universe. It's all Christian bands. We're going September 7th, 8th, and 9th this year.
Amen.
So please come out and support the student ministry.
I feel led by the Lord to eat some pizza and support the student ministry. And all God's people said.
Ladies, it seems that there's going to be an event called a Full Circle, September 15th at First Baptist of Fort Lauderdale. So our time is short to make your commitment, because if we get 10 people, currently the price is around $34, but if we get 10 people to commit going, it'll be a little bit cheaper. Is that correct, Ms. Dottie? Yes. It's going to be with Patsy Claremont, Anita Renfrew, and Jan Zolvis. And if you've heard any or all of them speak, it would really be truly a blessing and a great outing for our ladies, because we know we like to get together and do fun things. And I think this would be something really great. So today, if you think you want to go, you want to make a commitment, let Dottie know. I have a paper that we could do, start signing up. As I said, we need to make the commitment very quickly, because we're just a month out.